Podcast.
Hello, North Rock. How are we? The wonder of Advent, the wonder of Christmas time. I'm sure there are books written on that. There can be many more books written on that. The wonder of what God has done. But I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you a story that's a true story, and it's all about the wonder of Advent and Christmas time. And I know it's a true story because it's a story I lived. It's a story about what happened to me on a Christmas Eve 6 years ago. God's celebration. Now, I'm going to say something about that picture. This is a side, no extra charge. I love that picture. No wings on the angels. Where did we get wings for angels? The story, as we'll read it here, says the glory of the Lord shone about them. Do you know what that means? They weren't just visited by angels and heavenly hosts. God was present. That's what the glory of the Lord is. The Shekinah glory is the presence of God. And are they afraid? Yeah. Yeah. They were afraid. There was a fear that came on them in God's presence. In the presence of angels, in the presence of heavenly hosts who are singing and praising God, it really took them. So I like this. I love that picture. That's why I chose it, to put it up there. God's celebration. I keep remembering 6 years ago, Christmas Eve, this is what happened. And it was so moving to me, I wrote about it. I don't know how many of you know it. I have a little book that I wrote 6 years ago. And I put it in chapter 4. And I'm going to read some of that to you. I was on the way to Greeley, where I worked, in my car. It's an hour drive. Christmas Eve. You know, retail. You know, retailers love Christmas. You know? I had 27 years of it. And I was on the way, and I was listening to Chris Tomlin, Glory in the Highest. That's an amazing CD. And I loved it. I listened to it over and over and over again at that Christmas time. And on that CD, they began to sing, Angels We Have Heard on High. And they got to that part where it says, Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What the gladsome tidings be which inspire your heavenly song? And it got me thinking. And it got me asking questions. And it got me saying, yeah, God, what is this about? What is going on here? Shepherds? Angels singing? I could see why we would be celebrating, but it looks like you're celebrating, God. Those questions came to me. And it says in Luke 2, Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you, and you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You see that town off in the distance? Way too big. You know, in rural Colorado, we lived up in Eaton for 19 years, and it's kind of a thing you do. You count how many stoplights there are in a town as to how big it is. So Eaton had one stoplight. And Ault had a stoplight. Lucerne didn't have one. Platteville has two. You know. So that's how you decide, you know. Bethlehem didn't have any. It's just a little burg. Finding a baby, a newborn, in a stable would not have been any trouble at all. Not in that little burg. Okay, so anyway, so we might correct the picture a little bit. It's not metropolitan, you know. So I said, what are you doing, God? This isn't essential to the gospel. It's not even essential to the Christmas story. And he goes on and says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Why? What are you doing here, God? And then it was like he was speaking to my heart. And he was saying to me, I have planned all of this in eternity past. And then for thousands of years, I've been telling my children that someday I would provide a Savior for them. The someday has come. With the birth of my son, I decided to celebrate, and I decided to share my excitement with my creation. I threw a birthday party for my son, and I wanted my creation to join me in the celebration. Now, that's not all. That's not the whole story. Would you like to hear the rest of the story? I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. As soon as I get through talking with you a little bit about some ideas that are background to the rest of this story. So I have three ideas that are going to kind of speak to the wonder of Christmas. Why God? What's going on? What are you doing? What is this announcement? What is this celebration about? So are you ready for three ideas? Three ideas, okay. I'm going to sneak a fourth one in at the last, you know me. But three ideas. Oh, first of all, I need a drink of water. Oh. It's kind of dry. It's really dry water. Ooh. Where did we get this dry water? Ooh. I'm going to try this one. That's better. Still a little bit dry. I hope this one's really wet. I want some really wet water. That's what I want, is wet water, not the dry stuff. Wet water. I wonder if that's been... I wonder if this is past the use-by date and it got a little dry. I hope you'll remember that. See, water is always wet. Do you know it's the nature of water to be wet? It can't be dry. I don't care if it goes by the use by date. It won't be dry. Because the nature of water is wetness. And that's like the love of God. God's nature, He doesn't have love. His nature is love. He is love. Idea number one, God is love. God is love very much like water is wet. At the core of His nature is love. You won't find dried up water anywhere. And you will never worship a true and living God who isn't love. He doesn't simply have love, He is love. Therefore, get this, mark it down, therefore, everything He does and all of His involvement with you, which is all the time, did you know He's involved with you all the time? That's gospel. His involvement with you, which is all the time, will be expressions of who He is. Love. Idea number one. Idea number two. An expression of that love is that God is always and forever for us. He's for you. He's not against you. And I don't care what you may have heard, what others may have said. The gospel that Jesus spoke of was a Father who is for you, not against you. He always has your good, your best interest at heart. In Romans 8, Paul writes, "What then shall we say to these things?" If you want to know what these things are, go and read Romans 8. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" And he's not questioning whether God's for us or not. He's saying, since God's for us, who's going to be against us? God is for you. "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect?" Who's going to bring a charge against you if God's for you? It is God who justifies. Who is He who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen. And by the way, you rose with Him. Who is even at the right hand of God who also makes intercession for us, for you. Christ is making intercession for you. You are in His heart. He goes on to say, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You know why you can't be separated from the love of God? Because the love of God is God Himself. He doesn't parcel out love. He is love. The love of God that you experience is Him. And He's promised to never leave us or forsake us. So we will never be separated from the love of God. First and foremost, in God's relationship with you, is His love for you. So don't think of Him in any other way. He is not your condemning judge. He's not your accuser. He's not the prosecuting attorney against you. He's not your condemner. This is what Paul's saying. He is not a God who's angry with you and who has to be persuaded by Jesus to love you. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The love that Jesus has for you is the love of the Father for you. Their love is the same for you. And by the way, the Holy Spirit's love is incredible. Because you know what? He's with you everywhere. He's got to love you to be with you everywhere. Look at you. Look at me. I mean, isn't that love? This is true. He is our life. He abides in us. And He says, I'm going to be with you all the time. I'm going to be with you everywhere. That's love. To be with me everywhere. And you. No, He's the God who has always loved you, whose love for you was long before you even took your first breath. As water is wet, so at the core of God's being is His love for you. This is wonder. The one who created all the cosmos, all the universe, first and foremost loves you. Wouldn't it be neat if every time we picked up one of these bottles and drank from it, we thought about how much God loves us? Wouldn't that be neat? I might drink more water. This is fact. What we're talking about, this is fact. This is not fantasy. This is not some bedtime story. This is God and how He has revealed Himself to us through Jesus Christ. And this is absolutely one of the wonders of Advent and of the Christmas season. The one who makes this universe His habitation, the psalmist calls it His footstool, loves you to the uttermost. I think the best human picture of God's love is the love of a healthy mother for a child. A healthy mother. Because I've watched it. I've seen it in my wife, Anita. I've seen her love our children. I remember my mother's love for me. This mother's love never really wants to be away from her children. We have a child in Boise and we have a child in Naples. They're grown adults, you know. They're not children. But I know, I guarantee you, when we visit Boise and as we leave and take off, there'll be tears in Anita's eyes. Because she wants to be with her children. This is the way our God is. The gospel is, well, I won't get ahead of myself. But the gospel is He wants to be with you. That's why Jesus came. to be intimately with you. A healthy mother is constantly doing good for her children, even when they don't get it. Even when in their immature selfishness, they may not even like the way she's loving them. She loves them anyway, in ways that are best for them. I'm not going to leave the guys out, because I know a father's love too. I know what a father's love is like. And I love the example of Jean Valjean and Les Mis. Now, he wasn't Cosette's father, but he was. She didn't know anyone else as a father except Jean Valjean. And he looked out for her, and he cared for her. And she was uttermost in his mind and in his love. He protected her. And sometimes she didn't understand his love, but he loved her anyway. So let's review idea number one. God is love like water is wet. It's his nature to love. Don't think of him in any other way. An expression of God's very nature is that God is always and forever for you. He is never against you. He always has your good, your best interest at heart. Idea number three. In his love for you, God has freely decided he doesn't want to be God without you in his life. Now that may take you a minute to take in. So first time I heard that, I went, whoa, wait a minute. Let me think about that. Think about that. Yeah, that would be good. Let's think about that. That's why Jesus came. So that we could be involved in the life of God. Intimately in the life of God. God so much did not want to be God without you that he sent his Son so he could be God with you. God with us. And we could be in him. And he would be our very life. In his love for you, God has freely decided he doesn't want to be God without you in his life. S.D. Morrison, in his book, We Belong, Trinitarian Good News, writes this. We belong to the triune life of God. As satisfied and complete as God is in himself, he doesn't need us. He even so willed to be God for us, to exist neither next to mankind or above mankind, but with mankind as our brother and friend. Most importantly, God willed to be our God, the God of humanity. He is the one who loves in freedom. In other words, he's not coerced to love. He doesn't have to love. It's his nature to love. And he's freely chosen that be his nature. He is God for us. Then he quotes Karl Barth. God willed from all eternity not to be without man. This is gospel. This is good news. In his love for you, God has freely decided he doesn't want to be God without you in his life. So S.D. Morrison goes on to say, this choice that God has made about mankind to be God for us originates in the heart of God's triune life. It's in his core being. God chooses man. He chooses us in freedom. In his freedom, God has decided to include the human race into fellowship with himself, that we might exist in the triune life of God. This end is the total purpose of creation, reconciliation, and redemption. God does not need creation. God wants it to be. The gospel begins with this simple fact. God desires fellowship with mankind. You're mankind. He desires fellowship with you. He's brought you into fellowship with him. And not just any sort of fellowship, but the same fellowship that God enjoys in himself. The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you've ever seen The Shack or read the book, you'll see the fellowship of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in that movie or in that book. They have fellowship with one another. He has brought us into that kind of fellowship, into that very fellowship. The same love that God is eternally, God wills to share with us and include us in. We are created to take part in this love, in the great dance itself. So the rest of the story. As I was driving along, and I was thinking about the angels and God's presence with the shepherds and asking questions, the epiphany came as I felt God speaking again in my heart. And he said this, "My excitement and all that celebration was for one thing, that I finally can make my home in you." He celebrated that. "I am excited that now I can have the most intimate relationship imaginable with you, Tom. I am as close to you as a vine is to its branches." You know how close a vine is to its branches? The branches are the vine. "I am now in your very life, intimately with you on all occasions. Everywhere, intimately with you in every decision, every conversation, while you sleep and when you're awake, and when you're awake. I am celebrating that you are intimately in me, experiencing my love, my joy, and my peace, becoming my feet, my hands, my voice, bringing my light into the darkness. All of those Christmas narratives are my celebration of joy that now I can be in this intimate relationship with you. And I couldn't wait to get home and write all this down. So I wrote, I've never seen Christmas this way before, that God celebrates getting to fellowship with me. I wrote, this is giving Christmas a new look for me. I review this every Christmas, because Christmas has changed for me since this night. Since this was actually in the morning, in the car, on the way to work. It is joy upon joy. I've never known this before, and I just wanted to share it with you. So I have a fourth idea, of course. The one loved responds to a love like this. How do we respond? How are you responding to this wonder of God's love celebration of you? Because he was celebrating you with the shepherds. Well, some of you have seen this video. We're going to see it again. I think Rick Warren has the right idea.
The first purpose of my life is to be loved by God. Now, the Bible tells us that God is love. That God doesn't have love. God doesn't just show love. God is love. The Bible says that everything in the universe was created so God could love it. God has never made anything he doesn't love. He loves every rock, every tree, every plant, every animal, every human being. God has never made anything he doesn't love. So if you're alive, it means God loves you. What I'm saying to you, this is so fundamental, is that the number one calling in your life is not to a role, it's not to a responsibility, it's not to a bunch of rules, it's not to regulations, it's not to ritual, it's not to religion, it's to a relationship. Now, let that sink in a little bit. The first purpose of your life is not to serve God. The first purpose of your life is not to trust God. The first purpose of your life is not to obey God. The first purpose of your life is not even to love God. No, no. The first purpose of your life is to let God love you.
The first purpose of your life, you, purpose, the first purpose, there may be some sub-purposes, but the first purpose is to let God love you. And I have this question, are there ways, maybe some new ways, that I could so arrange my life, or rearrange my life, that I can better position myself to enjoy my life in his love more and more and more completely. I challenge you to think about this. This is the wonder of Christmas, that our first purpose is to enjoy the love of God and his relationship with us. That he has celebrated you. That at the core of his being is his love for you. Stop seeing him any other way. And are there some adjustments that could be made so I could enjoy that love more? And I'm going to share with you something that, and I'm done, but I want to share. No, I'm not. One of the ways, the adjustments that I keep having to make in my life is to be with you more. Because there's something about being with other people who love Jesus the way I do. And the promise is there in the Word that when we are together, we're good for each other. When we're together and we make the focus of our conversations, it says psalms and hymns and good stuff like that. You know, focusing on him. Our lives are changed. Our lives are enriched. So I'm going to invite you to something, and this may resonate with some of you. It won't resonate with everyone. But I'm going to invite you to conversations with me. And if I once a month, there's a few of us that get together for what I call a conversation group. And that conversation group is just people getting together and having conversations. Duh. And so we get together and we just talk. Some of us read a book together sometimes. Sometimes it's just conversations about, it always relates to God and to his love for us and how he's working in our lives and how we're beginning to understand him more and more. But if you would like once a month to be in a conversation group, and we have other groups here in the church that help us in receiving and living in the love of God. And if you're interested in something like that, I'd like for you to come talk to me. If that resonates with you, I want you to come talk to me. And we'll put a group together. And it can be a conversation group. And you won't have to read a book. You might have to say something once in a while because it's conversation. Be thinking about that. We have a new year coming. We have new opportunities coming. And I just want to lay that out. And if it resonates with you, please come talk to me. I'd like, Andrew, could you close us out with our commitment to the Lord? And I want to pray with you. What good news. You celebrate me. You love me so much you don't want to be God without me in your life. I praise you. I worship you. I adore you for that. That's such good news. Lord, I love you back. And I want that love to be seen in my life more than ever. Show me how you want to work in me and make room in my life that I might enjoy your love more. And do that in a way that you'll be glorified because it's really all about you. I love you. Amen.
Can we close this evening or this morning's service with an applause, just thanking God? And also just thanking God how he moves. You know, I was thinking about this. It's something when you get to see someone's gifts on display, and this morning I felt like, Tom, your pastoral and teaching gifts were on display today. So thank you. I don't know about you, but I want to drink more water. Let's respond, because Tom was right. When you encounter love and grace like that, the wonder of Emmanuel, of Christmas, God with us, you have to respond. And so the way we kind of do it here is we close with a prayer. It's a prayer of response and a prayer of commitment. We've talked about this fall. It's our creed, what we believe it is to walk in faith with Jesus. But fundamentally, it's responding to Emmanuel. What are we going to do together? How are we going to live? How are we going to order our life in a manner worthy of the gospel? Well, let's pray it together. And if you're praying this for the first time, I want to meet you afterwards, or Tom would love to meet you and get you connected. We want to walk this journey of faith with you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, following you in water baptism, In Jesus' name I pray and trust. Amen. Amen. Well, then let's close this morning with a benediction, a blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of God, and may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. And we'll see you next week. Go in peace.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.